Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. If you don't like the idea of an aspirin a day to protect your heart, you could try chocolate. Now, that's a health study we can get into.
Chocolate can cut your heart attack risk nearly in half, says a Johns Hopkins study. How? Researcher Diane Becker says it has a biochemical effect similar to aspirin. She discovered this after 10% of the subjects in a different heart study disobeyed orders not to eat chocolate. Becker understands she devoured half a box preparing this presentation to the American Heart Association. So I can call you a chocoholic.
You can call me a chocoholic and you would be absolutely honest.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Another new study says living long is not really all that complicated. Constant activity breeds longevity. Diet rich in fruits and vegetables, moderate alcohol, be productively, happily married, and stay active. Dr. Brad Wilcox on some things to avoid.
Smoking, overweight, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, high triglycerides, which is a form of cholesterol.
A study of thousands of Japanese Americans in Hawaii for 40 years by Pacific Health Research Institute says that's the ticket to 85 vigorous years or more. There was another suicide terror bombing in Iraq today which killed 7 people, but even more shocking was the kidnapping of dozens of people in Karada.
I'm Cammy McCormick in Baghdad. The kidnappings at the Research Institute shocked even Iraqis who have become accustomed to violence, and it angered lawmakers. One Sunni leader asked how it was possible that so many vehicles could move into a heavily patrolled area unnoticed. He called the mass abduction not only a crime, but alluding to the government's inability to stop the violence, he also called it a political farce.
They could move into that area because they really were the cops. 5 police officers, including the police chief, have been arrested for participating. And the word in just the last few minutes is some or all of those kidnapped victims have been set free. The United Nations says near-weapons-grade processed uranium has been found in Iran, along with plutonium, nearly irrefutable evidence of a nuclear weapons program, well beyond what's needed for electricity.
They say the production of uranium is for their peaceful nuclear program. Well, excuse us, if we base on past Iranian behavior, we don't buy that.
State Department spokesman Sean McCormick there. A Las Vegas man going through AA's 12-step program hit step 9 and wrote to apologize to a girl he'd sexually assaulted in college. The woman, 22 years later, now in Connecticut, called the police. She had evidence in print, after all, of a crime, which Liz Securo says the University of Virginia failed to seriously investigate way back then. Now William Beebe is headed for prison 2 years as part of a plea deal. On Wall Street, the Dow up 86 points to a new record. NASDAQ gained 24 points. Oil prices, $58.28 a barrel, down 30 cents. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Know what this Wednesday is? It's Kohl's 50% off sale, where you'll find great styles at half off throughout the store. I'm here with stylist Alexa talking about the latest trend, luxurious textures.
Think fabrics that feel soft to the touch.
Like cashmere?
Yes, sumptuous in a sweater, and snuggle up in plush throws for the bed or sofa.
What about footwear?
Boots lined with fleece? Very cozy.
Stay toasty at Kohl's 50% off sale. Save 50% on styles for you and your home this Wednesday only from 7 a.m. to midnight. At Kohl's, expect great things.
There was a tree that comforted Jewish teenager Anne Frank while she hid from the Nazis in Amsterdam, Netherlands. That tree must be cut down. It's estimated to be 150 years old or more, but experts say the tree is dying anyway. The core is already rotting away. Word to the wise from Consumer Reports on those extended warranty offers you get on your way out of the appliance or the electronic store.
Extended warranties are cash cows for retailers.
Kim Kleeman says just say no.
For many gold and platinum cards, especially MasterCard and Visa, they will double the manufacturer warranty up to 1 year. So you're protected for 2 years instead of one.
A new invention from Down Under, a T-shirt that lets you play air guitar. Dry clean only, of course, a computerized T-shirt that reads your moves. May take a little practice to play like Angus Young, or Clapton, or B.B. King, but make-believe could be fun, too. Sure hope the T-shirt has an idea what you're trying to play. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
If you're 50 years or older and have not yet had a flu vaccination this year, you may be at increased risk for serious complications of influenza. And if you haven't been vaccinated yet, you may also be putting those that you care for at risk for serious complications as well. The National Foundation for Infectious Diseases is urging adults 50 years and older to get immunized. Stay healthy and keep those around you healthy too. Get the flu vaccine now. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, originating from the left coast. I'm in San Francisco, home of those dreaded San Francisco values. Oh, you know, like a living wage, compassion for the less fortunate. Yeah, dangerous values, according to the neocons, right? As always, my telephone lines are open to talk with you. You can join this conversation whenever you like. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. As always, you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Or if you prefer, humblehost at peterbcollins.com. It'll get me. This hour, we're going to talk about the process that has been called extraordinary rendition. It's another tortured phrase emanating from the Bush administration. And it describes the process, frankly, where we snatch or kidnap somebody and take them somewhere to interrogate them or have them interrogated by third parties. I view it as a black mark. A barbaric practice of this administration that doesn't make Americans safer and often has been practiced on people who are absolutely frickin' innocent. And joining us to talk about this issue this hour is A.C. Thompson. Together with Trevor Paglen, he has penned a book called Torture Taxi, on the trail of the CIA's rendition flights. And we first talked to AC and Trevor a little less than a year ago when they authored an article. It was either in the San Francisco Bay Guardian or the Weekly. AC, which was it?
It was the Guardian, which was then my employer, and I'm currently with the SF Weekly.
Oh, you jumped to the other side.
There you go.
Well, Brugman will get even.
Undoubtedly.
That's an inside joke. Bruce Brugman is the powerful, authoritative publisher of the Bay Guardian, and he's in general a great guy, but if you get on his wrong side, like the Chronicle and Examiner did for years with their joint operating agreement, or one of his pet peeves is about Hetch Hetchy and the Raker Act that set up PG&E, the utility here in San Francisco, and he's never gotten over it. And I have to say that those things that he pursues are interesting and important topics, but sometimes he's a little bit wild-eyed about it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would stipulate to that.
Well, AC, first of all, describe for us how you got interested in the rendition flights and how you connected with various plane spotter networks that essentially are all over the world to help you track some of these lightly marked or sometimes unmarked aircraft that are used by the CIA and perhaps other arms of our government to transport people in this process called extraordinary rendition.
you know, the last time we spoke, I had just done the story with Trevor, and we, you know, basically had just started chasing this story a little bit more. And what we found as we were doing more research to do a book on the subject was some of the people that had the most information about where the CIA was taking people, how they were taking them to these locations, what the CIA was doing, were not traditional sources. They were not the kind of people that you would normally expect to go to for information on an intelligence agency. The people that we found that could help us figure these things out, a lot of them were hobbyists. They were kind of nerdy, binocular-toting gentlemen who were obsessed with aviation. And when you get into this globalized war on terror where the CIA is abducting people from places around the world and taking them to different locations around the world, it helps to have, as a source, somebody who is an expert on aviation. And what had happened was, on the various plane spotter listservs and websites and message boards, there are a bunch of people that follow, in particular, mysterious aircraft and military aircraft and possible experimental aircraft. And they use a lot of different ways to sort of check these planes out and see where they're landing and where they're going to. And one of the things that they use is basically to get the FAA data that shows where planes are going, that shows what flight plans planes have filed and can be streamed to your computer over the Internet if you pay a service. Some of these guys are using that. Some of these guys are using even more high-tech methods. We went out with a guy who was tracking U-2 spy planes using a sophisticated radar apparatus that he hooked up to his laptop. And so what these folks were, helped us figure out is basically to crack the CIA's code. How to figure out if a plane doesn't have any markings on it aside from the tail number on it, which is basically like the license plate number on a plane.
Right, and every plane is required to display its tail number. We do have a couple of planes in the book that are violating that rule.
You know, it's more like most of the planes that we're looking at have the tail number. What it is the way that the CIA would get around, in some cases, meaningfully being able to track them, is that they would put a block on the data that the FAA got. And so the FAA wouldn't know exactly where these planes were going or wouldn't be able to share that data with the public. And, you know, the plane spotters also helped us figure out some ways to, even when that data is blocked, those who are savvy with computers can figure out ways to figure out what the data is, and they turned us on to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we were basically looking at a handful of planes that made very interesting journeys. These are planes that are flying from Dulles Airport, which is outside of Washington, D.C., to Afghanistan, to Guantanamo Bay, to Poland, to Romania, to Morocco. And those were we started looking at those planes and basically digging up as much information as we could to sort of get a sense of what the CIA was doing.
Mm-hmm. And when you start to delve into these black operations that take people to black sites, you're risking quite a bit as you investigate this, because clearly our government doesn't want you to discover this information. So were there any times where you felt that you were being followed, tailed, watched, or that your security had been compromised by the people who are in charge of our national security?
Well, you know, there was a few different times when we kind of felt nervous. You know, one thing that we did is we went to a rural town in North Carolina, which is the town that is the headquarters for one of the basically shell aviation companies that the CIA has set up to run its mission.
Smithfield is the town.
Smithfield, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we were there, it's a small place. We're clearly outsiders. And basically we were knocking on the doors of the pilots who were doing these missions for the CIA. and saying, hey, you know, we'd like to talk to you about the war on terror. We're writing a book. How do you feel about talking to us? And as you can imagine, most of the people we spoke to weren't interested in talking, though one of the pilots did. But we definitely felt a little creeped out at times. Like, here we are announcing our presence in this small town as the guys who are digging into the CIA secrets there. And you know, beyond feeling a little nervous, I don't know that there was that we were in any kind of danger at all.
But, all right, but did you and Trevor have a contingency plan in case all of a sudden they put a hood over your head and say, you're going on a one-way trip to Gitmo?
You know, we didn't, you know, and sort of we sort of felt that, you know, hopefully being members of the press and being American citizens, that helped give us a little bit more protection compared to.
You jest, AC, you jest.
No, I'm serious. I mean, you know, typically the kind of people that are going to get grabbed, most of them are going to be, a lot of them are going to be foreigners, people in other countries, and they're going to get dragged to even more remote countries. And so it's sort of, you know, they're less likely to become a cause celeb here. And, like, people in San Francisco aren't even going to notice that they disappeared, whereas with us, it would be quite, you know, Trevor is a PhD candidate at Cal, and I'm a guy at a newspaper. It'll be pretty clear that somebody got us, and everyone knew we were working on this book about the CIA. So we weren't that worried. When we were in Afghanistan, we were a little bit more worried there, you know.
I admire your level of trust in our country at this difficult time. We're talking with A.C. Thompson. He is co-author with Trevor Paglen of Torture Taxi. It's a book about the CIA's process of extraordinary rendition. And as we continue, we'll talk more about the process, the way the CIA has this set up, some of the victims, including a few innocent individuals, and the kind of torture and other extraordinary means that were used to try to get information out of them. If you have a question or comment, A.C. Thompson's with us this entire hour, so give us a call, toll free. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. And I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the news. KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, your number one choice for wealth building and real estate investment, we'll have companies that we think are going to be very hot in 2007. If you want to learn about investing in commercial properties, new real estate funds, and other exciting real estate markets, this is the show for you. For more information on how to be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Or check us out on the web at rockrollandrealestate.com. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
I am attorney Sean Mills.
Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the CIA and rendition.
I took a correspondence class in wiretapping and assassination. I learned the lingo and the proper etiquette for covert operation. I got my degree in top secrecy, 'cause I'm gonna be a spy for the CIDIATFBI. I'll tell you if you keep it quiet, CIA and FBI, etc. They've reformed their former ways and got themselves a brand new raison d'etre. And all the intelligence personnel will work as one well-oiled machine, the CIDIATFBI is on the scene.
That's another tune from that wacky new CD from Roy Zimmerman. A lot of great tunes there. You'll keep hearing them here on the Peter B. Collins Show. A.C. Thompson is our guest. He is co-author with Trevor Paglen of the book Torture Taxi, On the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights. And A.C., going back in history, after the Vietnam War, I learned about Southern Air Transport. I learned about Air America, and that's why the radio network took that name, for a little bit of a joke. But things have changed since Vietnam, and the CIA doesn't appear to currently have front operations that provide this kind of executive transport. And so, like so many other functions in the Bush administration, they've outsourced, and they've turned to leasing. Is that right?
Partially yes and partially no. It's all kind of tangled, and it's very murky. But part of what they've done is they've apparently outsourced the actual flying of the planes to some small companies that basically survive on CIA contracts and are very, very closely associated with the CIA. These are companies that deal with the CIA from day to day, that the CIA has a hand in who they hire, that the CIA helped create, but they're nominally at least semi-independent of the agency.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the people who are doing the flying. The actual planes are owned by a whole panoply of front companies. And it looks to us, from our research, that the CIA does, in fact, own these planes, but shrouds the, their ownership of them by creating paper corporations which supposedly own them, phony companies that supposedly own them.
So one of the central aspects of the book is you're trying to figure out who owns Premier Executive Transport Services. And when you investigate, it leads you to a law office in near Boston. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And what it is when you start doing the sort of basic corporate research that you would do to learn anything about a company, you find all kinds of weird things that don't add up when you start looking at these aviation firms. So when we were looking at Premier Executive, this is the company that's widely believed to have helped take Khaled El-Masri, a German citizen of Lebanese descent, to help grab him and fly him to from Europe to Kabul, Afghanistan, where he was held incommunicado for 4 months and tormented before being dumped out in a hillside in Albania. So we were looking at Premier Executive, and we just wanted to figure out, well, you know, what's up with this company? Who is involved with them? Who is making money off them? You know, perhaps they're a real company, or perhaps they're a CIA front. And so we did stuff like we pulled their corporate charter documents and looked at the signatures for the people who were allegedly the executives there that they had to sign each year. And what you would find is that every time the president of the company, for example, would sign the charter documents each year, it would be a completely different signature.
Well, and you even show us various examples of Colleen Bourne's signature.
Right. And what do those look like to you?
Well, they're not similar.
That was the thing that we thought. You know, it's like, you know, we're not handwriting experts, but when we look at these documents, it sure doesn't look like the same person is signing these documents from year to year, and this is supposedly the executive of this company. We also found that when you start looking around for any proof that, say, Colleen Bourne at Premier Executive exists, it's very, very hard to find any proof that these people really exist outside of being the supposed owner of this supposed company. So, like for Colleen Bourne, we couldn't find any real estate that she owned. And you'd figure, well, she owns an aviation company. She probably owns a house as well. Well, mm-hmm. We couldn't find any. We couldn't find a phone number. We couldn't find an address history. None of the sort of stuff that would normally come up with an exec, even of a small company. And these are the sort of giveaways that you have that say, this is not your normal operation here.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, for Premier Executive, and they didn't have a real office anywhere. They didn't have a workplace that anyone went to and worked in each day.
Right.
Randomly.
Under corporate laws, what you have to have is an official address where process servers could deliver a subpoena or something like that.
Exactly. And all any of these companies have is a lawyer who is there to receive subpoenas, the person who is the registered agent for a process of service.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the trail leads in the case of Premier Executive is to...
And it's this one lawyer, Plakias, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Plakias, yeah.
He's a divorce lawyer.
He's a divorce lawyer. He was also the first person to buy our book, by the way.
How do you know that? From Amazon?
Yeah. From the web store for our publisher. He ordered it the day it came out.
And, of course, he declined to talk with you.
He declined to talk to us, as did several of the other people who are connected with these front companies. You know, we went to see him and say, hey, your name has come up in connection with possibly grabbing people for the CIA and torturing them. We'd like to talk to you. And he didn't want to talk to us.
All right, we got to take a break. AC will return. If you'd like to talk with AC Thompson, the author, co-author of Torture Taxi on the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights, call us now. We'll talk to you soon. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar, coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pilar for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour.
Those who start wars, never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them.
We're talking with a co-author of the book called Torture Taxi, On the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights. He is reporter A.C. Thompson, and we're joined by Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter.
Peter. And AC, I do commend you for your very courageous efforts. And I'm wondering, one, did you get the feeling anywhere along the line in your investigation that you live in a country where you have a government that's interested in protecting your rights as a citizen? And I also wanted to ask you, what country did you have to go to find a newspaper that would publish what you were doing?
Well, you know, on the latter subject, you know, it's actually been really nice. My previous employer was interested in this story, and my current employer, Village Voice Media, has been as well, and they ran an excerpt from the book on thevillagevoice.com. So luckily I've been able to stay in this country, unlike certain reporters. You know, as far as the first question and what made me think that the government of this country particularly cared about my rights, it wasn't that. It was just more that, you know, my sort of sense was that we were in less risk than a lot of other people because we were higher profile characters. And that was why. You know, now when we were in Afghanistan, things sort of shifted there because it's obviously a fairly chaotic place at the moment, and people do disappear there all the time, and you have basically all kinds of overlapping spheres of power there. You have the warlords, you have the Afghan government, you have the narco forces, you have the U.S. military, and you have the European military. So that was a much different story over there.
Well, I do commend you. Done a really good thing here.
All right, Dave, thank you for checking in today. Well, it's good to hear from you. You can join us at 888-5-PETER-B if you have a question or comment. Now, take us to base camp in Nevada and explain the scene that you describe in the book of these four planes, two of which you had been tailing and had identified as rendition vehicles. And this scene that you were able to report on at base camp in Nevada.
Now, this was a great sort of piece of info that a source of ours who goes by the name Ray in our book basically led us onto. And he was a person who'd been studying and charting really the most secret, most experimental aircraft for years. And he's a guy who hangs out in the Nevada desert because that's where a lot of these tests and a lot of these secret flights go on. I mean, there's a huge chunk of Nevada that is government property, and a lot of it is used by the CIA, and a lot of it is also used by the Air Force.
And many of us have learned about Area 51, but base camp is not adjacent to or even right next to Area 51, right?
No, it's not. It's not right by Area 51, but it's not too far away.
So a couple of hundred miles? I mean, Nevada is a huge state.
Right. We're talking about 100 miles away.
Okay.
And what was going on is Ray basically was driving around at various lookout points looking at interesting planes that he'd been tracking and decided to pull through base camp one day. And that was a spot that was, like, he believed to be basically an abandoned sort of airstrip that very few people, or if anybody, were using. And when he pulled up there that day, he saw four different planes and quickly took photos and got out of there. And what he later started hearing was that from sources of his out in that world was that this was not a good thing that he had done, and that people were very unhappy that those photos he had taken had quickly found their way onto the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his source said, you really need to be careful that you don't end up with a bullet in you. The planes were pretty interesting. Two of them were planes that basically we could quickly connect to the CIA. One of them ended up being a plane that went down not that much longer, later after Ray saw it, in Colombia over territory that was controlled by the FARC guerrillas. And the guerrillas executed the passenger of the plane and the plane's pilot. So that was another pretty good tip-off that these were definitely planes that were connected to the intelligence agencies. There's not a ton of Americans flying over over guerrilla territory and in Colombia at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine, though, why they would have some sort of a rendezvous all the way in Nevada. Now, these jets, of course, can fly all over the world, and I guess many of them have fuel tanks that give them extended range. At the same time, wouldn't Southfield in North Carolina be a lot closer to the hot spots of the Middle East than this desolate, apparently or allegedly abandoned strip at base camp in Nevada?
You know, why the planes showed up there, why they had this rendezvous there, and this was in like late 2001, we don't know. We you know, it's a mystery to us. We do know that from looking at the flight logs, these planes show up all over the place. Mm-hmm. They show up in Oklahoma. They show up in Texas. They show up in all kinds of places. So, you know, it may have been that they were working on some kind of maneuvers, that they were working on some kind of strategic planning, and they just wanted to be out in the middle of nowhere to get together to do whatever planning or maneuvers that they wanted to do.
Yeah, but it wasn't to trade Krispy Kremes.
No, we would figure that it wasn't. Yeah.
All right. Now, AC, let's wing our way over to Afghanistan. Bagram is one of the main air bases there. And it also has been described as a black site. And nearby, you describe the salt pit. Tell us about the salt pit.
The salt pit is the place that Khaled El-Masri, one of the rendition victims we were speaking about earlier, mm-hmm. was dragged to. And the salt pit is the code name for what seems to be an old brick factory that's basically between Kabul and the Bagram Air Base that the U.S. military forces use. And it's on a long road that rolls through the plains outside of Kabul along this stretch of territory that's fairly empty, save for small-time furnaces and bricks, little brick factories that people have out there. And when we rolled out that way, we took what we believe is one of the only photos that's been taken by a Westerner of the facility, and our translator was speaking to the Afghan guards who were in front of the facility, and we said, you know, he said to them, "Is this a facility that Americans are using?" And the Afghans said, "Yes, there's lots of Americans here, and we have no idea what they're doing."
Mm-hmm.
It was about 30 seconds after that we noticed not too far away two Americans on a Humvee who were very heavily armed outside the big high razor coil wall surrounding the old factory. And we were pretty sure that was in fact the salt pit, and that was where people had been dragged to. The location from satellite photos and from our drive out there mm-hmm. seems to match everything that we've been told about by the few people who have gotten out of these dungeons.
And AC, one of the first glimpses we got into this murky world was from the so-called American Taliban, the guy from Marin County, John Walker Lind, who was found and declared to be an enemy combatant. And instead of sending him to Gitmo, they tortured him in Afghanistan and ultimately sent him to the United States for trial. And he's serving a 20-plus-year sentence right now. But his reports indicated the kind of treatment that he received, exposure to hot and cold, different kinds of humiliation. And, so that was really the first glimpse that we got of what was going on in Afghanistan. And through your plane spotting friends who helped you put together some of the manifests and itineraries for these planes that you've identified as part of the rendition program, your book helps fill in the blanks that the Washington Post declined to report on when last year they did disclose the Gulag, this system of black sites where detainees were being kept, and you were able to develop information about at least Poland and Romania, right?
Yeah, and you know, what the story was basically is that the intelligence agencies leaned very hard on the Washington Post not to reveal the locations the exact locations of these secret prisons in Poland and Romania. And instead, the Washington Post said in two Eastern European countries, and that was after pressure from the CIA. Pressure also came down on ABC and Brian Ross because they were reporting on the same story at about the same time. But in the case of ABC, ABC had put out multiple versions of their story, and one of them was a podcast on the web that named the countries. Then when they went on the news and did the broadcast news version, they didn't name the countries. But when it became clear to them that, we've already let it leak, the actual locations leak out, let's just go for it and tell people where they are, they ended up naming the countries. And for us, we had a lot of help on this from an expert at Human Rights Watch in New York, John Sifton, who had also, like the plane spotters, been using the plane logs and the manifest to figure out where these folks were going. And he said he came to the same conclusions independently of the other journalists and said, this is where I think they're going to. Lately, people have believed that two key places on the rendition map are Rabat, Morocco, and Egypt. And mm-hmm. those are two places that folks are pretty convinced CIA flights are going into pretty regularly now.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's complete the Jeopardy category here, black sites for 1,000. we have, obviously, Abu Ghraib, Gitmo, Bagram, Romania, Poland. You just mentioned Egypt and Morocco. And we know that a number of individuals have been sent to Syria for rough treatment. So that's eight. Are there others that have surfaced that you can acknowledge at this point?
Well, you know, what I would also kind of keep Guantanamo in a separate category because it's a dungeon. You end up there under basically no law, and mm-hmm. you may never get out of it. But from the beginning, the U.S. was pretty open about, well, we have this facility. We just won't necessarily let you into it or tell you what happens there.
Right.
So I would keep that in a slightly different category.
Okay.
And I would also point out that in around Kabul, most experts believe that there's actually at least three facilities there that are run mm-hmm. by the CIA, and one of them is called the Prison of Darkness, where prisoners are kept in basically perpetual darkness and subjected to very loud hip-hop and rock music, which is not the indigenous music of Kabul.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's interesting is that the definitions get blurry, and that's why mm-hmm. I mentioned about Guantanamo, is because throughout Afghanistan, the U.S. military is controlling about 20 different detention centers. And these function much the way that the CIA's black sites mm-hmm. do.
Now, what about the stands? Do we have any people detained in Tajikistan or Kazakhstan?
You know, it hasn't become clear to us that there are, although there could well be.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll return with A.C. Thompson. The book that he co-authored is Torture Taxi, On the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights. There's still room for a call if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7000. 7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Tom Hartman and George W. Bush admitting that he lied to the press corps.
Last week you told us that Rumsfeld was not stepping down, and now he is. And did you lie to us?
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And then he says, I lied to you. It was the only way I could get you to move on to the next question. And then he looks around and he chuckles and he's got this, and nobody's laughing. The entire press corps is sitting there looking at him going, you did what?
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I imagine this is one of the songs they play in the black hole of the black sites. Certainly Devo isn't anybody's indigenous music. And it occurs to your humble host that you may be asking yourself, Peter B., isn't it a little tasteless to play Whip It while you're talking about torture? And I would respond, yeah. But what is really tasteless is our government's policy of torturing people, transporting them to exotic destinations for the purpose of torture, and this grisly negotiation that took place over the last year about our laws regarding torture and the way the Bush administration has intentionally watered those laws down. They've set a new low for us. We're talking with A.C. Thompson. He's co-author of Torture Taxi on the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights. Let me read you a passage here. A middle-aged man named Alaa Nur, a small-time merchant with a produce stand in the heart of town, had a typical story. He was grabbed by U.S. soldiers on a winter afternoon in late 03. When they entered my shop, they asked an Afghan translator to tie my hands, he told us. They wanted to know where the guns were. The troops, he explained, thought he was providing weapons to the local Taliban guerrillas, though in fact he had no arms. The soldiers blindfolded and hooded Noor before driving him to a nearby base. When the blinders were removed, he was in a locked room, surrounded by two Afghan translators, three Americans in civilian garb, and three Americans in military uniform. They stripped him naked, took photos from all sides. Some of the U.S. personnel began asking him questions, while others, Noor said, started to beat me very badly. Then they forced me to sit in a position that was impossible. He stood up and demonstrated this for us by bending over at the knees like a baseball catcher and then thrusting his torso forward in an obviously uncomfortable position. The beating went on for 3 hours before they gave me only trousers and put me in a big dark room. It was the beginning of winter. The room was very cold. There were holes in the roof. The snow was falling on me. I had only one thin blanket. I was under the snow for days. The next day, soldiers attacked him with a snarling German shepherd. For days, he wasn't given any food or allowed to use the toilet or allowed to pray. Eventually, they put a hood back on and took him to Bagram Military Base via chopper. Since the CIA moved its prisoners out of Bagram and into the salt pit in 01, the U.S. military has used the base as a key jail for suspected insurgents. And this story goes on into other interrogation sessions. But would you say it is somewhat typical, A.C. Thompson, of the stories that you've investigated of rendition victims?
You know, that was the thing that was stunning to us, is that there's this whole continuum of very similar stories that goes from Abu Ghraib to Afghanistan and the military facilities there to the CIA facilities and their black sites. And the interesting thing is that no matter where you are, no matter who is the jailer, whether it's intelligence or whether it's military or whether it's some combination of the two, you hear these very similar stories.
Let's talk about, just for another moment, Khalid al-Masri, because he's a German who was snatched and rendition, whatever the right variation of that term is. And he asserts, and I believe, that he is completely innocent. And he surfaced at an inconvenient time telling his story in Germany when Secretary was Rice was there last December in what I called the Rice-a-Palooza torture tour. And he came up inconveniently, as she was denying to the Germans that we torture. And then just days before or later, the Italians surfaced with a case from Milan. And they have proceeded to indict 24 individuals, including some members of our CIA, for grabbing a suspect off the streets of Milan. He was rendered to Egypt and tortured, and then, again, determined to be completely innocent.
You know, to me, what's fascinating and is with the Italian story, you know, I'm amazed that you even know about that story because it's gotten so little play in the United States. This is a great untold story of the war on terror, that United States employees of the federal government, of the CIA, have been criminally indicted by the Italian government. It's, to me, that's a huge story, and yet you won't hear anything about it, you know, very little about it in the mainstream press.
It also began under the Berlusconi regime, which was thought to be very friendly to the Bush administration.
Right. That was the other thing that's so interesting.
Yeah. So, AC, you've been great in answering my questions, and with somebody like you who has investigated all this stuff, we got 2 minutes remaining. What have we left out that you think our listeners really need to know or should know about CIA renditions?
You know, the key thing to me that I think is important here is the fact that we're all culpable here. This is our government. We're paying for this to happen. And, you know, not that long ago, our government could say to other countries, hey, you know, abusing human beings is not a good thing to do. Why don't you not do that? And now we can't do that at all. When we talk about human rights abuses, we have to look at ourselves. That we're the perpetrators now. And I think that that's a huge shift, and it's something that we need to, as a country and as individuals, deal with on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, on this program, we renamed the Military Commissions Act the Joe Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006. And, AC, it's my hope that the new Congress with Democratic leadership will revisit that bill. Pat Leahy, the senator who will head the Judiciary Committee, I think that's right. Well, no, let me get it right. I guess it's Intelligence. He'll head the Intelligence Committee. He has vowed to reopen that legislation, and I hope he will, because I really think that not only is it bad politics, but it is going to set a standard that we will regret for decades to come.
Yeah, I would concur with that, definitely. And just note that some of these things, you know, started occurring during the Clinton era. So I'm not completely convinced that the Dems will do the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the early cutbacks on habeas corpus happened after the Oklahoma City bombing under the Clinton regime. So, you know, hopefully the Dems will do the right thing and will show some spine and revamp, or better yet, ditch this Military Commissions Act.
Torture Taxi is the book. We've been talking with co-author A.C. Thompson. Trevor Paglen is his companion on the book. The subtitle is On the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights. It's out in hardcover from Melville House Publishing, and I recommend it. Thank you, A.C.
Thanks a lot.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show.
You got cooked. I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Gunmen in police uniforms abduct dozens in Baghdad.
By the time help arrived, the kidnappers had vanished with their hostages, leaving signs of a struggle but few clues.
Keys to a long, healthy life for men. I'm John Hartshe.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. An episode in Iraq today raises concerns that some elements of the police are part of the problem, not part of the solution. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer in Baghdad reports armed men dressed as police invaded an office of the Iraqi Education Ministry and took dozens of people away, claiming it was an anti-corruption raid.
Sources in the White House are now confirming that most of the hostages have been released, although there's no information on who kidnapped them or why. The Iraqi authorities earlier announced they'd arrested 5 senior police officers. Everyone here is deeply worried that a mass abduction on this scale must have had support from inside the Iraqi security services.
Senate Democrats elected Harry Reid their majority leader today, and CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports there's a move to continue keeping tabs on our tax dollars in Iraq.
In the legislative rush to leave for the elections, House Republicans slipped into a defense bill, a provision to shut down the office that oversees spending for Iraq construction. Maine Republican Susan Collins says that office uncovered fraud, abuse, and massive waste.
It has been credited with saving the American taxpayer millions of dollars.
Democrat Joe Lieberman says the Special Inspector General's office has to continue to protect taxpayers' money.
As long as their money, our money, is being spent in Iraq.
They and others are moving quickly in the lame duck Congress to change the law so the Iraq Inspector General stays in business. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Now this.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah, how do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry, I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the Balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
If you're 50 years or older and have not yet had a flu vaccination this year, you may be at increased risk for serious complications of influenza. And if you haven't been vaccinated yet, you may also be putting those that you care for at risk for serious complications as well. The National Foundation for Infectious Diseases is urging adults 50 years and older to get immunized. Stay healthy and keep those around you healthy too. Get the flu vaccine now. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
The secret to a long and healthy life? The results of a long-term study provide some clues. CBS News correspondent John Hartshe has the story.
Researchers tracked the health of nearly 6,000 Japanese-American men in Hawaii since the 1960s and identified a risk score. 9 factors that could shorten your life, like high blood pressure, smoking, drinking excessively.
If you had 6+ on the risk score, 6 or more of these risk factors, you had a less than 10% chance of making it to your 80s in good health.
Dr. Bradley Wilcox of the Pacific Health Research Institute points out some of the factors in their survival score are not biological. A good education and marriage seem to help. John Hartshe, CBS News, Washington.
How tragic when a person lives into old age only to be mistreated by children, grandchildren, and caregivers.
This runs the gamut. From cashing checks on grandma's name to actual physical abuse.
CBS News correspondent Kelly Covia in Houston, where authorities are applying techniques for detecting child abuse to uncovering elder abuse. She says they get 1,200 reports a month. Another record close on Wall Street. When the bell sounded, the Dow was 86 points higher at 12,218. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 also had strong gains.
Let's just call it a good market or an ongoing bull market, responding to some very, very good fundamentals.
Analyst Hugh Johnson says the economy seems to be making a soft landing, and with the rate of inflation declining, a Fed official signaled today that interest rates are not likely to rise. The big three U.S. automakers had wanted this for some time. Today they got a sit-down with President Bush.
I would say it was a very good dialogue, very open back and forth. I think it's fair to say on a number of areas we sensed, there was agreement and things we could continue to work on.
General Motors Chairman Rick Wagoner, along with executives from Ford and Chrysler, complained about health care costs and foreign competition. The president praised them for making tough choices to make sure their companies are competitive in a global economy. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Did you know, by law, minimum credit card payments are now double? If credit card debt is ruining your life, call Debt Relief of America. With one free 5-minute phone call, they can show you how to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. That includes principal and interest. They will negotiate with your creditors to save you thousands of dollars in interest, penalties, and late fees.
DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
I considered bankruptcy and divorce. I was fortunate enough to find Debt Relief of America. Now I can see myself being able to enjoy life again. I consider their help one of the best presents I've ever received.
Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Relief is our middle name. People just like you saved over $15 million in credit card bills. We can do the same for you. Call 800-732-7092. Not available in all states. That's 800-732-7092. 800-732-7092.
It seems you can't buy a TV or an appliance without being...
Jason Leopold checks in from truthout.org and asks, will the new Democratic-controlled Senate reinvestigate the pre-war intel? But first, let's spin up a narrative for the 2006 midterm election.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans.
Joining us now on the Peter B. Collins Show is Ira Chernus, a professor of religious studies at the University of Colorado at Boulder. He returns to our program today, and his latest book is Monsters to Destroy, the Neoconservative War on Terror and Sin. Ira Chernus, welcome back to our show.
Glad to be here once again.
Nice to talk with you. And you point out in this piece that people can find either at TomDispatch.com, Tom Engelhart was on with us yesterday at this time, or CommonDreams.org, I think, has this as well. You write, the unfinished story of election 2006, we get to choose the ending. Talk a little bit about how narratives help explain elections and kind of sew the disparate threads into maybe a tapestry or a quilt.
Right. The 2006 election, according to Karl Rove, was supposed to follow a simple script. He started talking about this quite publicly back in the spring. It was going to be a story about the Republicans who have the courage to stand up against evil and fight against it and win, and the Democrats who are just cowards and all they want to do is cut and run. So he's creating this very simple, it's more like a cartoon really than a tapestry. Problem was that he didn't seem to be able to sell it quite as well as he expected to, and there were enough voters who just wouldn't buy that story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, though, that the story's unfinished because the Democrats in this campaign didn't really present a clear alternative story about the war in Iraq.
Well, they were content to let the Republican story unravel and just be standing there and say, we're not Republicans.
Right. It was really a lot like negative campaigning where you don't talk about what you're going to do. You talk about how bad your opponent has been. But that leaves a big space open. I think for people who would like to see American troops out of Iraq, and I'm one of those people who are involved in the peace movement. I'm one of those people. It leaves a big opening to write a new story, to suggest to the American public a new narrative that could lead to a policy where we would get our troops out of Iraq, and not just be talking about, well, maybe sometime 6 months down the road we'll have some vague benchmark or something,
mm-hmm.
but really see some action. But that's got to come from the public, and I think that developing a new story is a crucial first step.
Well, and Ira, you're not just one of those whiny opinion writers who just complains about stuff. You actually offer some themes that the Democrats could use, and we'll get to those in the next segment. I want to focus a little bit on why people turned out to vote, who didn't turn out to vote, and what actually motivated them. Because, as you pointed out, Karl Rove wanted to make this a referendum on the war, and he felt the war was so overwhelming, and that between the fear that people felt and the basic loyalties of the Republican base, that would be enough to eke out retaining control of the House and the Senate. And while voters did express anger over the war in Iraq, that doesn't appear to be the primary driver, particularly of the independents, who tilted for Democrats on a 2-to-1 basis.
Well, there were so many different factors, at least what the exit polls tell us, and we're never quite sure, as Tom Engelhardt probably told you yesterday, we're never quite sure what to make of those numbers. And, of course, the media get to tell their own story. If you're a journalist, that's what you do. You write a story, and you've got to create a kind of coherent narrative, sometimes out of a lot of facts that really don't fit together. And the polling data I saw was kind of scattered all over the place. People concerned about the economy, concerned about corruption, concerned about all sorts of things. And the one thing we didn't hear much of was the old values voters. Remember 2 years ago they were going to turn politics around, and somehow they've sort of disappeared from the story. Changes pretty quick.
Well, but that could be some a kind of suppression of identity, where because of Mark Foley and Ted Haggard, people weren't going to brag about their values to the exit pollers on election day this year.
But it's also the case that they weren't really even asked. When you look at these polls that say, what's your most important issue this year? They weren't even putting things like abortion or gay marriage on the list. But the point I wanted to make is that I think that the mainstream media have turned against this war, and did so quite a while ago, because the establishment, the kind of centrist foreign policy elite establishment, has seen a long time ago that this Iraq war is a disaster, and Jim Baker is going to be kind of their messenger to the White House. So I think that they tend to focus on the dissatisfaction with the Iraq war. That becomes the thread of the media story, because it's a way to kind of give coherence to the whole thing, but also because the media are recognizing that this Iraq war is a disaster for the United States in all sorts of ways, and would like to push the public to pressure the White House to get our troops out of there. And we already see that Bush is responsive to public pressure to some degree. Of course, his whole political career depends on this image of this guy who is so tough, and once he takes a stand, he'll never back down. But the fact is that as people turn against the war, he's ultimately a politician, and I think he can be moved too.
Ira Trinis, you write, of course, that narrative does have a good dose of truth in it. Most Americans do now oppose Bush's Iraq policy, and particularly its implementation. But the Democratic win does not mean that voters simply saw through the administration's lies and now demand the true story. They just want a new story.
Well, the story that I think the peace movement should propose, and I don't have a specific one to tell, but I think whatever story the peace movement comes up with, it's got to be based on truth. And the truth, as far as I can tell, is that it's the presence of American troops in Iraq that is more of a source of violence than anything else. There's lots of things have to happen before Iraq becomes a peaceful place. But the first thing that has to happen is that American troops have to get out of there. But the American public needs a sense that there's some patriotic reason to get American troops out of there. So at the end of this article, I suggested a few themes that in my study and teaching about American cultural history, certain themes that keep coming up over and over again throughout our history, like the idea that we are, well, I guess what the philosophers call pragmatists, that is, we're very mm-hmm. practical people, we're hard-headed. We don't just stick with the same old thing. If it's not working, we try something new. That's a good American tradition.
Well, you trot out the sacredness of life, the culture of life that Bush talks about, the innate goodness of American motives, the idea of self-determination. And I do agree with you. These are principles or ideals that Americans embrace and could be persuaded to pivot on. Would you agree?
Right. I mean, my point is that you can look at the same facts and shape them into different stories, draw different conclusions, and we should not think historically that the American people have been warmongers. Quite the contrary. There's been serious resistance to just about every war this country ever fought, including this Iraq war. You remember, right up until the day the war started, there were huge demonstrations against it, and that's partly because we have this good American tradition that we mind our own business.
Mm-hmm.
We don't stick our nose in other people's business where we don't belong, as we have done now in Iraq.
Now, Ira, I commend you for proposing these themes, and I think they're interesting. On the other hand, aren't they kind of pandering to, in a way, to trick the American people into agreeing with you and me?
Well, no. I don't think it's a matter of tricking people. I think it's a matter of teaching people, teaching is even too strong a word, but let me just say it's a matter of suggesting to people that you can see the same situation from a different perspective. You know, I live right near the Rocky Mountains, and I've learned that you can look at the same big, huge mountain from another direction, and it looks totally different. It's the same mountain. You're just seeing it from a different point of view. So we can suggest to people, and again, I think that's the responsibility of the peace movement, is to suggest to people alternative views, alternative ways of seeing Iraq, Afghanistan, the whole, quote, war on terrorism issue. In this book I just wrote, Monsters to Destroy, I suggest that the whole idea of a war on terrorism is just one way of looking things, and it ends up making us feel less secure and actually making us less secure, and of course making our civil liberties less secure too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of tricking people, it's just a matter of offering them a new perspective, a new lens, let's say, to look at the situation, but one that feels comfortable to them, one that feels rooted in authentic American values.
We're going to take a break and return with Professor Ira Chernus. He's professor of religious studies at the University of Colorado at Boulder. What do you think about his ideas of this narrative? Give us a call. Give us your reaction. Lines are open for you. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Right here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's give the very latest and tell you a little about what's happening in Scotts Valley. Looks like northbound 17 before Mount Hermon injury crash. Solo vehicle hit the embankment with the right shoulder, on the right shoulder. Emergency crews are on the scene, and that is an ongoing situation there. Let's also take a look at Salinas Natividad at Stage Road. We have a mattress blocking one of the lanes there. And we're also going to tell you about Salinas Alisal at Hartnell. We have an accident reported there. Now, a vehicle went off the roadway and apparently landed in a ditch there. And also Scotts Valley, yet another problem. This would be Graham Hill Road at Lockwood Lane. Apparently, there's a broken glass in both lanes, so drivers are certainly approaching that area with caution. Well, this report brought to you by Advil. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works, the everyday pain reliever. I'm Mike, that's traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter from truthout.org, he's going to be with us about 10 minutes from now. And coming up next hour, we kick off the Free Speech Zone with our report from Washington, Melanie Sloan at Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And they've taken a hard line against the proposed elevation of Jack Murtha to House Majority Leader because of ethics problems. We'll talk about that coming up in the next hour. You can join this conversation anytime. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. We continue with Ira Chernus, professor of religious studies at the University of Colorado. Once again, his most recent book is Monsters to Destroy, the Neoconservative War on Terror and Sin. And the piece that we're talking about was published yesterday at TomDispatch.com. And we're talking about the narrative. And Ira makes a good point that, there's so many different angles and issues to an election. And what really works and what gels in the collective consciousness is the narrative that is developed. You know, did the Democrats win? Did the Republicans lose? Was this a referendum on Bush, the war, corruption? We see that he who spins first often gets to color the references and that kind of collective wisdom that ultimately becomes common knowledge or history, and sometimes includes a lot of myth-making. And Ira, one of the points you make in this item that you wrote is that there was a lot of truthiness but not a lot of truth being flung around, particularly in the television advertising of the campaigns, most of which was negative. And you wrote, all that chaos makes it hard to hold on to any enduring sense of identity. If you can't say precisely what you stand for, it's a relief at least to know what you stand against. And that's why so many of us are eager to have an enemy. And I got a little confused by Bush's communication during the campaign. Not that he's an articulate person, but Karl Rove was a very disciplined message guy. And they were all over the place on Iraq, saying that, we're gearing up for a change, but Rumsfeld's going to stay, and, you know, we'll explore any option, and then proceeded to rule out partitioning and many other options. And I felt a sense of whiplash as Bush was trying to appeal to a lot of different points on the political spectrum with highly mixed messages.
Right. And yet he always comes back to that essential point, we're going to do whatever it takes to win. So you're right, he's trying to walk a fine line. He's trying to show that he's responsive to the voters, that he hears people. But at the same time, his whole stock and trade, his whole political career has been built on this image of this rock-solid guy who sees the truth and sticks to it no matter what. And it may be that a lot of the reason that he's having a hard time now is because he can stick to it no matter what. He's got to show some flexibility while at the same time trying to keep that image of the guy who takes absolute stands, never changes his mind.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to sort of play both sides of that fence, and people are kind of turning against it.
Well, and despite all of the protestations we hear, the Democrats didn't have a unified position or unified messages that they were delivering.
Well, of course, the irony of it is that the day after the election, they tell us now that they're going to have a unified message. It's like, where were they during the election? Or it may very well be that they were afraid and they saw no need to take a unified stand before the election, because this comes back to the point, right, that people will define their identity in terms of what they're against. And that's all the Democrats had to do to be successful this time around,
mm-hmm.
is to say, okay, well, this is what we're against. We're not going to tell you what we're for. And even now, as they claim to be taking a more clear stand, I suspect we're going to find it's very vague, very open-ended, and people can kind of see in it what they want.
I also think it's worth pointing out that the Democrats were highly selective, and I credit them for wanting to win above all else, and so they used their polling and they controlled their messaging to the extent they could. But you point out one glaring omission, which is that very few Democrats picked up on the Lancet study, the Johns Hopkins report, of the true estimate of Iraqi casualties, north of 500,000 and could be easily over 600,000. The other huge glaring omission, Ira, which was pointed out by the religion writer of the New York Times, was that none of the Democrats used the torture issue and the Military Commissions Act as a way to separate themselves from Republicans in this election.
And both of those are extremely important. As far as the Johns Hopkins study, you know, one analysis I saw said that basically Americans just can't believe it. And this comes back to the importance of having a narrative that fits into your cultural tradition, because if a truth is too far outside of the story on which you've based your identity, you'll simply deny it. And that's what's happened to this absolutely shocking reality, and I haven't seen anybody who's really anybody knowledgeable who's discredited the methodology. All the epidemiologists say, yeah, they did exactly what we do, and this is the number they came up with.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it disappeared, it's I guess the psychologists call that denial, right?
Yes.
Like when something is simply too far outside of the realm of what fits into your consciousness,
mm-hmm.
you just deny it.
Well,
and you're absolutely right too. The Democrats haven't stood up at all.
Well, and it took Woodward three books to get it right, but his third book title is State of Denial, and that really nails it. Sabrina joins us from Chandler, Arizona. Hello, you're on the air, Sabrina.
Hi, thank you, Peter. You know, there's so much talk about the Democrats needing to have a definite plan, but what I'd really like to see is that there's an honest debate, you know, and not anyone coming in with, Bush's ideological stand that he had. It didn't get us anywhere, and there's been no debate, and I think that's the only way that you can really come to a conclusion on an issue. And with Iraq, I don't know if there can ever be any good come from it, because it was based on a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing good ever comes from a lie.
You're right. Sabrina, I wish we had more time, but I thank you for the call today. Ira Chernis, thank you for joining us, and thanks for the piece you wrote.
Oh, talk there to you again.
Okay, we'll talk to you again in the future, and I appreciate you joining us today.
Okay, bye-bye.
Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Jason Leopold, who asked the question, will the Democrats, now that they control the Senate, reinvigorate the intelligence investigation and get that report published on the pre-war intelligence cooking? That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see. the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Election change anything. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The appearance of those pickup trucks at the Higher Education Ministry in Baghdad reminds us it's going to take more than a change in the congressional leadership to fix Iraq. What the election has done is intensify pressure on the Iraqi leadership, sort of a revised Pottery Barn rule. We break it, you fix it. The headline that jumped out today was this one. U.S. Mideast commander wants timetable from Iraq prime minister. Timetable. Where have we heard that word before?
The temptation is to try to get the president or somebody to put a timetable on the definition of getting the job done. We're just going to stay the course.
Yes, well, timetables are good now, and General John Abizaid magically appeared in Iraq Monday to ask Prime Minister Maliki for a firm timetable on taking full control of the country, which is music to newly empowered Democrats. In fact, Senator Carl Levin, incoming head of the Senate Armed Services Committee, has called for some troops to come home immediately, which signals the real change that is going on here. Up until now, Iraq has been entirely the president's responsibility. Congress gave him everything he wanted. Not $1 nor one troop was denied. But come January, if the new Democratic majority asserts itself as they appear ready to do, the Pottery Barn rule applies to them too. And if you wonder, well, how could they re-break what's already broken? The president has taken the precaution of carefully setting the stage for that debate.
If we give up the fight in the streets of Baghdad, we will face the terrorists in the streets of our own cities.
Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Peter B. Collins Show continues, and I continue to be your humble host, Peter B. You can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Let me know what you're thinking or stories that you think we ought to be covering here on the show. Well, a week ago today, the American people spoke, kinda. And they said the Bush administration's done some dumb things. And then on Thursday, with the resolution of the Virginia race, we learned the Democrats have gained squeaky control of the United States Senate. And that, of course, is good news, but it wobbles on Joe Lieberman, because Lieberman, as you know, bolted the Democratic Party to save his skin, and he did so, and now he is an independent caucusing with the Democrats, and they've been very, 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 very nice to Joe Lieberman. In fact, I got an email from a listener who's upset because he read that in the Democratic Senate caucus today, where Senator Feinstein of California was named to head the Rules Committee, that's a very powerful insider post, there was also a liberal ovation, maybe that's the wrong word, a loud ovation for Joe Lieberman. And so they're trying to make him feel comfortable there so he doesn't jump to the Republican side. And it's going to be a very interesting tightrope walk for the foreseeable future. Jason Leopold joins us. He's the investigative reporter at truthout.org. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
He's also the author of the memoir, Fresh for a Young Man, called News Junkie. And before we get into business here, I noted that Truthout is working on its November fundraiser. And with the emails coming out, it appears that people are not responding adequately. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to rattle your tin cup.
Yeah. And, you know, what's great about Truthout is that we are truly an independent news source. A number of our writers have, including myself, have spent time in the mainstream media, and now we're...
You know, we won't hold that against you.
Exactly. Hopefully not. But we've made the transition to independent media so we can report on the types of stories that we normally would not be allowed to do these days by, you know, the standards that that go on there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and it's just, you know, it's really important. You know, we have people that, that scream that they want an independent media, but this is an opportunity to put your money where your mouth is and, you know, support it.
Yeah, and if you go to truthout.org, right there on the homepage, you just look on the left margin, and there's a D for donate.
Exactly, and it's very simple, and it makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, we want to continue, especially now, we are going to vastly improve the type of reporting that we're doing with much more original content now that we have the luxury of the Democrats gaining both houses.
Mm-hmm. And also, I've noticed an expansion of your video offerings, and we saw with the Macaca video and lots of others in this campaign that homebrew video has become a very important element in American political communication.
Yeah, and that's something that we're going to continue to expand upon in the months ahead. We're going to do more original video reports, more documentary-type reports. I mean, we have to remember here that we have 2 more years, and in that 2 more years of the Bush regime, and in that time we expect a lot more, or hopefully the truth, to come out, and, you know, we want to be on top of it.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, when all the truth is out, you'll shut down.
And then we're done. We're finished. Our job is done, and, you know, we go back to our regular jobs over at the bookstore and the record shop. And, it's important. It's, I think it's a great service, and we generally get good feedback, as long as it doesn't involve Karl Rove.
You brung it up.
Yeah.
You posted a piece on Friday, New Senate, New Probe into Pre-War Intel. And
right.
I think this is an important angle. Now, let's back up for a second, because right now we have progressives who have been on the outs for 12 years, maybe longer, depending on your politics, and people are chomping at the bit. And people are also very amped up still from the election cycle.
Right.
And
right.
I think that there are some people who are expecting overnight results from the Democrats. And we've got to point out that they haven't taken power yet. That won't
exactly.
happen until January.
That's right. That won't happen until January. And they're, you know, I think people, by and large, like you said, the ones that, you know, the progressives who have been waiting for this moment for more than a decade now, hope that the Democrats win, and then, boom, you have an impeachment proceeding, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not gonna happen. It's certainly not going to happen that way. But like you said, the Democrats will not take control until January officially.
Mm-hmm.
And however, they are making it, the few Democrats that I spoke with, in the Senate and Congress are making it very clear publicly that they have a lot of work ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of their job, what they're eager to do, particularly Henry Waxman and Carl Levin.
Waxman of government oversight.
Yes, and mm-hmm. And Carl Levin of Armed Services, is that they get to finish their work on pre-war Iraq intelligence. That's for Carl Levin. Henry Waxman on the various investigations involving Halliburton, if you recall, Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
These are issues that we never were given answers to as to, you know, truly what went on behind the scenes. And now it's an opportunity for them to, to start asking questions and getting documents. And they have subpoena power. That's actually a very, very important part of this whole investigative process, is that they have subpoena power now. So if...
But it won't bother Cheney. Cheney will just ignore the subpoenas.
Well, you know, Cheney, I made it a point in the in this story that, Cheney made it very clear that he would ignore subpoenas. I mean, this is this is the vice president who's basically putting forth a message that he is above the law.
And that explicit point, Jason, is why I disagree with my friend Nancy Pelosi about taking impeachment, quote unquote, off the table. Because I can understand that it's not the top priority, and the Democrats don't want to lead with that as their agenda item. But to rule it out, I think, is wrong on a number of levels. I think it's wrong politically. I think it's wrong constitutionally. And I think that it sends the wrong message that the Democrats aren't interested in unearthing the truth about what's gone on in the last six years.
Exactly. You know, yesterday, Monday, Truth Out ran an editorial. And I think it's a fantastic editorial because we actually raised, we discussed this issue in the editorial, and it basically says that, you know, taking impeachment off the table, it's actually not yours, Nancy Pelosi, or Howard Dean, or anyone else in the Democratic Party, to take it off the table. If an investigation uncovers high crimes and misdemeanors, you know, proceed accordingly. But to jump right in and say it's off the table, we won't be doing it no matter what, that's wrong. They don't own it.
And likewise, I would counsel against saying, you know, that John Conyers' goal is to impeach the president and the vice president. If the goal is to, you know, ferret out the truth and inform the American public about actually what has occurred and why they lied, why they took us into Iraq, you know, all of these things need to be explained. And in that process, I believe that the culpable will be identified, and that if the this process goes forward properly, that Republicans would have no choice but to support it.
Absolutely.
And at that point, Nancy Pelosi would say, I bow to the majority.
Absolutely.
I bow to the wisdom of the Congress.
You know, I believe that there is, at this point, you know, the election's over. There's no more need for lip service or, trying to tell voters that this is something that you're not going to do. However, it certainly is not hers to take off the table. And, one of the interesting, what I thought was very interesting in the call that Carl Levin and Jack Reed held last week for reporters was that Carl Levin said he has been waiting for more than a year now to finish up this phase two part of the pre-war Iraq intelligence. Basically, what did these guys in the administration, the president, the vice president, and in the Pentagon, what did they know prior to the invasion? What did this office that we've sort of heard about called the Office of Special Plans, headed by Doug Feith, what was their role? And in that investigation with Carl Levin wants to proceed with, he wants to subpoena, if he needs to, first he's going to ask Doug Feith to appear and testify.
Mm-hmm.
And if that actually uncovers that, you know, that intelligence was hand-delivered to the White House, bypassing CIA analysts to go through it, and the White House knew that, if they can demonstrate that, that will be an explosive revelation. What happens from there in terms of where do we go? Is that a high crime or and misdemeanor?
Well, and Jason, I believe the intelligence was cooked. I want to know who the chef was and
exactly.
who wrote the recipe.
Exactly.
I think that's
a perfect way to say I want to know. Who cooked it up as well.
Yeah. We've struck a nerve. Billy's on the line from Capitola. Hi, Billy.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Billy.
So I thought about this, and here's how it's got to be done. The fact is that so much of politics is positioning and getting ready for the next election. So here's what we need to do. We do take it off the table. That just means we put it on the floor. We don't talk about it at all. We shut up about it completely. And then what do? We then have a few of these things we want to get through in our first 100 hours. For example, we want to get through, let's say, minimum wage.
Right.
So we get the House to sign it, the Senate signs it, and then Bush, let's hope he vetoes it. Ah, boy, we're halfway there to the election. You don't want to start the fight on impeachment too soon. And the facts are here. Look, I'm dying to see this guy impeached. I want him sent to Germany and put in jail altogether. But I don't want to talk about impeachment. I just want to do the thing, like as you say, we are responsible to do, which is investigate and do oversight. Now, where that leads, we hope, is impeachment. But we don't say the word anymore.
Right. I actually agree with Billy. Because, first of all, you have these various grassroots activist organizations, popping up and really trying to push hard for impeachment. And I think that, the important thing that the public needs to understand is that we need to have an investigation first.
That's it.
And we need to have,
impeachment doesn't work without the facts.
I would love to see the evidence.
Exactly.
Support a case for impeachment.
Exactly. The only way you get the evidence is by doing the investigations. The impeachment should be when we have all our ducks in a row.
Exactly.
And then we should impeach them all if we can.
Okay, Billy, I agree with you. I agree with the passionate point you make about impeaching them, and I also agree that we need to pursue this in a deft manner.
Yeah.
And if we do, it will probably come to a result that we would hope for and embrace.
Yeah.
And if we don't, I do think that it could blow up prematurely. Thanks for your call, Billy.
Exactly. Thanks, buddy.
Jason, stay with us. We're going to continue in just a moment. Jason Leopold from truthout.org. If you haven't, you ought to pick up his memoir, News Junkie. It's a powerful read. And if you'd like to join us, there's one line open at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Every day is an endless train.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, your number one choice for wealth building and real estate investment, we'll have companies that we think are going to be very hot in 2007. If you want to learn about investing in commercial properties, new real estate funds, and other exciting real estate markets, this is the show for you. For more information on how to be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Or check us out on the web at rockrollandrealestate.com. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
And let's take a look at traffic as you folks make your way home this evening. Let's talk a little about what's happening in, let's cruise on over to Scotts Valley, Graham Hill Road at Lockwood Lane. We still have broken glass in both lanes. That certainly is causing some problems for motorists there. Also, Prunedale north of Countryside Court. We're getting word of an accident there. Let's see, they're saying this is an accident, and it is blocking the northbound lane. It's a delivery truck and a car involved in this particular problem. Also, I want to take a look at some road work that we need to remind you folks about in Watsonville. Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom this evening. Caltrans will have a lane closed in each direction starting at 7 and it will end tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for pavement upgrades. You can expect about 15-minute delays. Now, the project is expected to be completed in late November. That'd be early, later on this month. This report brought to you by Advil. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We got a full switchboard right now. Jason Leopold is with us from truthout.org. And if you get a busy signal, call us back after the top of the hour. We'll be in the free speech zone all next hour. We'll kick it off with a live report from Washington from Melanie Sloan at CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And Jason, the calls are all stacked up here. So before we go to more callers, I just wanted to let you complete your thought about the Senate and the investigation into the pre-war intelligence.
Yeah, and it's, you know, what, again, I think that it would not be far-fetched to say that what will turn up, what they will find is that this intelligence was burnt, not just cooked. You know, they cooked this intelligence. They knew that they were, you know, sending questionable intelligence to the White House. What happens after that? You know, that's going to be a critical question. In addition to that, these guys are, you know, these guys, these senators and congressmen are already getting ready for the people that they want to question, like Doug Feith, to not appear. If these subpoenas are ignored, you know, what do you do at that point?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be when I say a long 2 years, there's going to be a lot of information that we find out.
Yeah.
And this is what we've been waiting for. And, you know, another perfect example, you know, Henry Waxman made a point about it last Friday in Los Angeles when he said, you know, that the Energy Task Force, Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force, was something that he was on from the get-go, and he has not let that fall by the wayside. He certainly is going to revisit it, and we may actually find out some things there. Of course, they, you know, when it comes to asserting executive privilege, who knows what, you know, what the White House will do. But I think that we're going to see the Democrats actually do some real investigative work here, and then where it goes from there is hopefully in the direction we all want it to.
Right. Let's go to Alan in Miami. Alan, you listen on the stream?
I am. This is something new to me. It's because of trying to track down Mike Malloy. I found you guys.
Okay, right? Great. Yeah, we're on the NovaMradio.com stream, and Mike Malloy follows us in just about an hour and change.
That's been a great discovery. Well, what I have to say has to do with your current speaker and your previous one, because it also deals with a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a hard time, as Jason Leopold said, over the next 2 years. First of all, to find a new narrative, we don't even have the old one. Because, I mean, let's be honest. We can't discuss the war or what to do or how to get out mm-hmm. of it or anything unless we understand that the first narrative is that they went in there because of the plans of the Project for the New American Century. It was to put in those bases and to put in that mega embassy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we don't discuss that, and even today, till today, it wasn't discussed during the election period. Also, the threat to our democracy, the war against our democracy and our rights was the other side of the coin of building those bases over there. It was the other side of the coin of keeping the people silent and not knowing what the neocon agenda was from the beginning. Now, their plans may have fallen apart, but the reason why we're still there and the reason why we're on a ship moving out real fast is because they intend to try and keep those bases somehow and the influence in that region.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unless we talk about that, it seems to me I'm all in favor of impeachment. I've been in favor of impeachment for a long time. I happen to be a part of the Green Party who voted for impeachment 3 years ago.
Yeah. That is one of the problems, is that we have separate universes, and those of us on the left who've been paying attention have really, we've already written the indictments.
Well, the thing is, I think there's an easier way to get directly to impeachment. If we do these investigations, as you've just been saying, if we investigate those contractors over there, like that recent movie of Greenwald that came out, investigate all of that stuff. Where did the $8 billion go? Mm-hmm. Where did this happen? What happened? It's going to lead to impeachment. And people will buy into that kind of investigation a lot more easily because they don't want to see this kind of corruption.
You're referring to Iraq for Sale. It is an excellent documentary, and I encourage people to check it out. Alan, thank you for your call today. Great to hear from you in Miami. Next, let's go to Carolyn in Tempe, Arizona. Hi, Carolyn.
Yeah, hey there, Peter B. I was just wondering if Jason Leopold could give us an update on whatever happened, what stage of the progress is the Patrick Fitzgerald investigation in.
Okay.
I lost track of that.
All right, we have. Yeah, it's gotten lost in the shuffle. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, well, the investigation is still ongoing. They're still dealing with some issues regarding Scooter Libby. What I can say, what is happening in the blogosphere is that there are various people who seem to be connected to the Karl Rove, Valerie Plame situation that have said now, that are coming out there saying, I just found out that the grand jury actually voted to indict, and that Fitzgerald is, sealed the indictment. Many of the things that we have been saying and sounding an alarm bell about for quite a while. At this point, how it relates to Rove, we're still following it. And in addition to that, there is still that sealed indictment there.
Yeah.
And I know that you spoke to David Korn, and David Korn was,
he was hostile.
He was assertive in what he believed to be the situation regarding Karl Rove. But I have to tell you that I absolutely disagree, because, that letter David Korn did not see.
Mm-hmm. No, he freely admitted that.
And he admitted that. And I find that to be, if you're going to say that somebody is not indicted, and I'm saying that somebody, is indicted, and the grand jury voted, I'm certainly trying to get a hold of that letter. And I can tell you that Mark Ash, the executive editor, director of Truth Out, we're actually typing up a letter, and we're going to FedEx it to Robert Lufkin. We're going to create a paper trail and, request it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at this point, the issues with regard to Scooter Libby, they're still ongoing. There was something that came out yesterday in which the judge Reggie Walton actually said that some classified material will be allowed, but this whole idea of gray mail, in which you try to, get the case dismissed because you would be revealing national security secrets is not going to pass muster.
Yeah.
Oh, good. But I, one other thing. Do you know when does that, and does it matter, when does this second impanelment of the grand jury end?
Well, it's...
Or has it already?
It hasn't. I know that he can extend it for another 6 months, up to 18 months.
I see.
And they were impaneled in December. So if their first term expires, it would be in at least another month.
All right, Carolyn, thanks for the call today.
Thank you.
Jason, a final comment?
Final comment. I think it's going to be really exciting, Peter. We're certainly both going to have a lot to talk about come January, and in the meantime, I think we're going to start to see President Bush maybe shed a tear or two.
All right. Thank you, Jason. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter.
Jason Leopold, truthout.org, and the author of the new memoir called News Junkie. If we didn't get to your call, I apologize. Just got too busy here, but next hour, it's all your phone calls in the free speech zone. We'll kick it off with a report from Washington with Melanie Sloan from Crew, and then go to your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Los Angeles police officers involved in two recent videotape beating cases will not be charged. A brief clip available on YouTube shows an officer punching a suspected gang member who's on the ground in Hollywood. And a video taken in Venice Beach shows a handcuffed man apparently being pepper sprayed in the back of a patrol car. But Chief William Bratton says it was provoked.
The officers showed remarkable restraint and demonstrated professional courtesy toward Baca despite his belligerent, threatening, and combative behavior.
In both cases, investigators found no excessive use of force. At least 82 people were killed or found dead in Iraq today, and to make matters worse, there's new reason to suspect that not all the Iraqi police can be trusted. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer reports gunmen dressed in police uniforms raided a higher education ministry office today and abducted dozens of staff members and visitors.
By sheer coincidence, just as the kidnapping was taking place, students at Baghdad University were out demonstrating for a safer campus.
We demand protection for our professors because day by day we miss many professors by killing or leaving Iraq.
Many students are now too afraid to travel to class, and more than 150 professors have been killed since the start of the war.
The Iraqi government responded to the abduction by arresting five senior police officials. White House sources now say most of the hostages have been released. Today, President Bush made good on his promise to meet with executives of the big three U.S. automakers. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
It was an effort by President Bush to offer reassurances to the beleaguered U.S. auto industry.
These leaders are making difficult decisions, tough choices to make sure that their companies are competitive in a global economy.
Mr. Bush said the administration was already addressing the cost of health care, which adds $1,000 to the price of a car, and he promised to raise fair trade concerns at the Asia-Pacific Economic Summit this weekend in Vietnam. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
You found a TV at the right price, but now they're trying to sell you an extended warranty. Here's advice from an expert.
Extended warranties are a huge waste of money for consumers.
Kim Kleeman of Consumer Reports says the high price is almost never warranted.
Things don't break down as often as they would have you believe. When they do break down, it's often cheaper to just have the problem fixed than to pay for the extended warranty.
It's a major source of profit for electronics and appliance retailers. Kleeman says they keep about 50%. What does a lame duck Congress do? Today, Senate Democrats pick their leadership team, making Harry Reid the majority leader when they come to power in January. And they tapped Robert Byrd to be Senate President pro temp, making the 89-year-old West Virginian third in line for the presidency. The Dow up to a record 12,218. This is CBS News.
You, line dancing with space aliens. Leprechauns playing hopscotch. Hot guy on the cover of a romance novel braiding your hair. Hot guy on the cover of a romance novel braiding his own hair. Genghis Khan in underwear that reads Saturday, but it's Monday. Dreams. They can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosiram right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosiram is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Unicorns, mermaids, gargoyles, dragons.
You know, Thanksgiving's on the way when turkeys are in the news. Wild turkeys were released in West Central Florida today, and for some reason, CBS News correspondent Peter King got the assignment.
The release was symbolic. 13 wild turkeys sent back into the wild.
This is part of our heritage. It's part of Thanksgiving. It's part of what made this country a great nation.
James Earl Kennebar is with the National Wild Turkey Federation, which conserves and restores turkey habitats.
They got to have food and cover.
He says the population has gone from 30,000 to 7 million in the past century. Students like 11-year-old Daylon Krotz will track some of these birds by radio, becoming stewards for their future.
Oh my gosh, it's awesome.
Peter King, CBS News, Thanota Sasa, Florida.
And especially hot summer means this year's Thanksgiving turkeys are skinnier than usual. That means fat birds are selling for high prices, and you're likely to pay more at the supermarket, more than you did last year. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
If you're 50 years or older and have not yet had a flu vaccination this year, you may be at increased risk for serious complications of influenza. And if you haven't been vaccinated yet, you may also be putting those that you care for at risk for serious complications as well. The National Foundation for Infectious Diseases is urging adults 50 years and older to get immunized. Stay healthy and keep those around you healthy too. Get the flu vaccine now. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, rolling into another hour. We're rolling into the free speed zone straight ahead. You can call us with a comment, any issue, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You know the rules. It's easy. Call us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll free, 888-573-8372. Ah, but first, we get an update on corruption in Washington, and she's always brief, but there's always much more to tell us. Melanie Sloan is Executive Director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. A definite impact by CREW in last Tuesday's midterm election. Melanie, congratulations.
Well, thanks, Peter. It's really good to see a bunch of really corrupt folks finally lose their seats.
Yeah, and out here, the crocodiles are all teared up over Richard Pombo. I know in Pennsylvania, people are just devastated that Kurt Weldon will no longer be greasing the skids and earmarking money that his daughter can benefit from.
There are other people who I'm sure will take over that earmarking job, but it is still very good to see Kurt Weldon and Richard Pombo both. I mean, Richard Pombo also, as you know, terrible on the environment, but his ethics really may have been the thing that finally sunk him that people couldn't tolerate.
Yeah, it is remarkable because Jerry McNerney's the first to tell you that he's kind of a nerdy guy. And not a dynamic, backslapping politician, but he really was persistent and made the message clear that he can't be bought. And over time, the people in that district figured out that Pombo was corrupt, and ultimately it was his undoing. He lost by 10,000 votes.
Well, that's really close, but I'm really happy to see that corruption mattered so much in this election. It turns out that in the exit polls, they were saying that for at least many voters, corruption really took the cake, even over Iraq, terrorism, and the economy.
Yeah. So we got Bob Ney going to jail. Mark Foley is due out of rehab soon, but he won't be back in the House. Rick Santorum, the senator from Pennsylvania, is finished. Charles Taylor, Republican congressman from North Carolina, it's over for him. And we're still waiting to hear about Deborah Price in Ohio.
Still waiting on her, but we forgot to say that Conrad Burns from Montana, he's gone, and it's ethics that really killed him.
Yeah.
J.D. Hayworth, also gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the big daddy of them all, Tom DeLay, gone, finally gone for good.
Yeah. And Dollar Bill Jefferson isn't quite out of the picture, but he's got a runoff to face.
That's right. The way Louisiana elections work, which is different than anywhere else in the country, he's going to have a runoff in December, but I think he may now lose.
Mm-hmm. Well, Melanie, you pointed out that the exit polls showed that corruption was a major issue, particularly for independents who voted for Democrats in this midterm election. In one exit poll I saw, the number was 74% of people citing corruption as at least one of the reasons why they voted the way they did this year. Now, what is surprising to me is that Nancy Pelosi, who coined the phrase, or at least used it frequently, culture of corruption, has backed John Murtha to be her majority leader. Now, this is a fairly contentious race against Steny Hoyer, who has been competitive with Pelosi all along. But the vote counters claim that Hoyer has the votes, and still Pelosi has backed Murtha. I would presume it's because of his position on the war. Now, it's fascinating to me, Melanie, you issued a press release yesterday from Crew blasting this this support by Pelosi of Murtha because of Murtha's ethical problems, which we'll detail in a second here. But in the San Francisco Chronicle today, about an 800-word story about Pelosi backing Murtha, not one word about the ethics issue. Now, to their credit, the Washington Post and the New York Times did go public with your information, and the Post even editorialized against Murtha, citing the ethics issues that you've raised as the, one of the primary reasons. So that is encouraging, but for the most part, Murtha's ethical issues have not really gotten much play.
No, they haven't, and I just can't tell you how disappointed I am by Nancy Pelosi's actions here. The Democrats campaigned on the culture of corruption. They won on culture of corruption, and less than 6 days later, she has to go and publicly endorse the one guy in the race who's got ethics problems. I understand she has a long-time relationship with Murtha, a long-time loyalty, but she is now to be the Speaker of the House. And as the Speaker of the House, she has a responsibility to all of America, not just to John Murtha. And she promised us a cleaner Congress, and I, for one, am going to hold her to that.
Well, and I don't draw you into these other political issues, but I'll just speak for myself here that I'm torn because I like Murtha's positions on the war. I think he has helped galvanize the Democrats and move them into a clearer, not clear, but a clearer opposition to Bush administration policy. He's been quite effective on that. But I'm also quite aware of the issues you've raised. And in addition, he's been a backroom wheeler dealer on defense contracts and earmarks, even putting aside the benefits to his brother through the earmark process. He is a guy who is an old-style pork barrel wheeler dealer politician.
You know, Peter, I share some of your views. I too am impressed by Representative Murtha's courage on Iraq, his bravery in taking a public stance despite all the criticism that he faced for it. And I think that that's all really important. And I hope that he can continue on doing those things and making the case. But the fact of the matter is, the Democrats won this election in part on the issue of corruption. They have to now be squeaky clean, and Representative Murtha just isn't that guy. He just can't step into a leadership role given his ethics problems. Not only has he have a long history of trading earmarks for campaign contributions, the New York Times did a whole long piece last month about how he was trading earmarks for votes, mm-hmm. including, by the way, a vote against an investigation into contracting abuses in Iraq. He also has been a long time someone who has long been opposed to any reform of the ethics process. It is really thanks to John Murtha that outside groups like mine can't file ethics complaints with the House Ethics Committee. Mm-hmm. He has always hated the Ethics Committee, and he has also been opposed to earmark reform. So being against ethics reform, against earmark reform, trading earmarks for campaign contributions. He's one of the largest recipients of campaign contributions from defense contractors in the House. I believe he's number three, and this has been despite the fact that he's been in the minority. And as you and I have talked about before in great detail, he's part of our All in the Family program, something we criticize members for routinely. Kurt Weldon, it was his daughter. John Murtha, it was his brother. His mm-hmm. brother lobbied on behalf of defense contractors for defense appropriations from John Murtha. They got those appropriations. In return, Kit Murtha steered campaign contributions to his brother. I think that's just wrong.
Yeah, Yeah, and I don't think it's something that can be rationalized. This is not, you know, a traffic ticket or, you know, some minor violation. This is a long-standing pattern of behavior, and I believe as Democrats, progressives, we need to stand up and say, no, we can't trade one for the other. And, you know, I value his voice on Iraq. At the same time, you know, we have to have standards and adhere to them, or we're simply going to go the way that the Republicans did over the last 12 years.
I completely agree, and that's why I'm so disappointed by Speaker-to-be Pelosi's actions. We've taken a lot of criticism over the last couple of days for coming out against Speaker Pelosi's endorsement of Murtha, but, you know, CREW is a nonpartisan organization, and we have to call it as we see it on ethics, and we're going to hold Democrats' feet to the fire just like we held Republicans' feet to the fire. As an American people, we deserve an ethical and accountable president, and we're going to do our part to make sure that happens, even if it's tough.
Well, I hear how tough it is, and I want you to know that you've got my support. Unfortunately, I don't have a trust fund, and I don't write big checks, but you got my moral support, Melanie.
Well, you know, that means a lot, and I've heard from some really wonderful people around the country who are pleased to know that we are sticking to our guns, even now that there's been a power shift in Congress, and we will. I mean, there are still plenty of Republicans out there with ethics problems. You know, interestingly enough, the Republicans finally getting on the board and realizing they have a problem have just said that Jerry Lewis will not be ranking member of Appropriations next Congress.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just did that today, recognizing that his ethics problems are in the way. Now, if only the Democrats can follow that lead and make the same decision about John Murtha.
Yeah. The other one is this idea that Pelosi will dump Jane Harman, who I don't have any real fondness for at Intelligence, and put Alcee Hastings as chair of that committee, a man who was impeached as a federal judge.
Right, another huge problem, and all the evidence suggests that Alcee Hastings was involved in very serious wrongdoing, and of all the committees for him to be the chairman of Intelligence, when you were an impeached federal judge, that really seems problematic to me, and I just can't imagine really what she's thinking again.
Yeah. Well, Melanie, you keep fighting.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, we'll talk to you again real soon. Melanie Sloan at CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website, citizensforethics.org. We've got a full switchboard, so when a caller drops, you can call us in the next segment at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll take a quick break and get right to your calls in the Free Speech Zone next. I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addictions. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes and cures, genetics or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Myrick Photographic in Monterey. Go to myrickphoto.com and get your holiday cards online. Saturdays at 4 with Sheila on KRXA. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Ouch! I'm tired of all these old TVs and computers trashing our garage. Can't we get rid of them once and for all?
I'd love to, honey, but it costs so much to get rid of them.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you can dispose of your electronic waste, TVs, monitors, old computers, and more, and it won't cost you a dime. Bring them to the Monterey Fairgrounds, and the garage will be yours again. The Electronic Waste Disposal event is happening this Friday through Sunday,
November 17th, 18th, and 19th,
at the Monterey Fairgrounds in Monterey. Go to noewaste.com for more information. That's noewaste.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Now let's take a look at traffic. You folks make your way home tonight, and let's keep the very latest. Well, it appears Santa Cruz Mountains, no stalls or accidents to report on 17, which is always good news. Prunedale, however, we have a problem. It's Prunedale North at Countryside Court. It's a crash. It is blocking the northbound lane. Now, CHP telling us that this is between a delivery truck and a car, and in fact, CHP is on scene as well. Santa Cruz southbound 1 at 17, getting word of a disabled vehicle. This is a vehicle that a car that ran out of gas. It's partially blocking the roadway, and it may be causing a bit of a backup there as well. So heads up for that particular problem. And just a quick reminder, in Watsonville tonight, Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom, Caltrans will have a lane closed in each direction from 7 to 6 a.m. 15-minute delays expected, and so be advised there. This report brought to you by Advil. In fact, you don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Advil.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. This is what we call the free speed zone. People are clear on the concept because my switchboard is full at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Xavier from Santa Cruz, thank you for holding and thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Yeah, excuse me. I just wanted to, first of all, I agree. I think Billy was talking about this, about we shouldn't just jump right in and call for impeachment. We should do an investigation first, and I think it sounds kind of immature for us to go about it, you know, just that. But the reason I called actually...
Well, just a sec on that. I do understand. Over on my bookshelf, I have three books about impeachment. One has been out for 9 months. Most of us on the left are familiar with the arguments, are familiar with the perceived violations of the law, and the grounds for potential impeachment. So I understand why those of us on the left are in a bit of a parallel universe and, you know, believe that the case is already very strong for impeachment. And I don't try to dissuade people from that at all. But timing is very important in politics and in many other aspects of life.
We had to bring Republicans along with us, too.
I agree.
But and the reason I called, actually, I just wanted to put in my 2 cents worth on that, but the reason I called was more about Lieberman.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I'm concerned about is, you know, that he's making noises about joining the Republicans. And what I wanted to ask you or a caller or another caller is we've got three Republicans. I think one of them got bumped out. We've got, like, Olympia Snow and Sue Collins. Are they still both in?
Yes, they're both senators from Maine.
I'm wondering about the possibility of talking to one or both of them behind the scenes and saying, well, if Lieberman does jump ship, would one of you guys be interested in coming over to our side?
Well, I don't know that Snow or Collins is amenable to that. I have no indication that they would be. The guy who might have flipped didn't win last week, Lincoln Chafee in Rhode Island. He wrote a very interesting op-ed piece that was published in Monday's New York Times about his loss and the impact on moderate Republicans. It's worth reading.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Xavier, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Now to Joe in Phoenix. Hello, Joe. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening, Peter B. How are you this evening, sir?
Good, thank you.
One of your earlier callers, I thought, made an astute observation when he said that in order to, you know, conduct these different investigations, you have to start almost with a sequence of events, and in order to really investigate how the war in Iraq was run, et cetera, and you really have to go into how the books were cooked, but in order to go into how the books were cooked, you have to understand why the books were cooked, in order to understand why the books were cooked, you have to go back and deal with the neocons and the Project for a New American Century. And when you get into that, you see that there's this mood or there was this attitude about invade Iraq, then invade Syria, then invade Iran, or invade Iran and then Syria. And it was all for the hegemony of Israel. And that's spelled out in the Project for a New American Century. And then when you look with people like Fife and Pearl, who both were administrative assistants to Benjamin Netanyahu, one has to wonder about the role of Israel, along with the APAC, American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, mm-hmm. persuading all these congressmen and senators to be on this war footing. And I wonder, can we ever have a true investigation if APAC is now going to start dealing with what are called the, quote, liberals, end quote, and the Democrats? And I have a big concern about that. What do you think?
Well, I share your concern, and AIPAC, in my view, does have disproportionate influence on Republicans and Democrats alike. And similarly, I concur with your point that the U.S. has identified its policies, particularly toward Iran, in my view, as if we are the twin brother or sister of Israel. Now, in saying that, I want to be explicit that I support Israel. I support Israel's right to exist. But when it comes to the occupation, when it comes to the way it handled the attacks on Lebanon and the efforts to displace Hezbollah this past summer, I don't support Israel. And I don't support the way the U.S. has tilted in favor of Israel at the expense of the Palestinians. And I believe that our best position is as an honest broker of peace, certainly as a friend and ally of Israel. I don't expect that to change. But we also, you know, like a good parent, have to be firm at times and say that it is not in Israel's best interest for the United States to always protect and defend it.
Are you familiar with the two professors who did their study about the role of AIPAC on America's foreign policy? I think it's Professors Miesheimer and Walt. One's from the University of Chicago and one's from Harvard.
I'm aware of it. I haven't studied it in detail.
Well, I've read it, and it's very impressive. They did a lengthy work paper, and they've also, or at least Miesheimer has been on some talk shows and talked about the issues. And one of the things they pointed out, and I noticed, Peter B., that you were first to apologize about, you know, not being, you know, anti-Israel and or anti-Semitic, but one of the first weapons that the two professors pointed out is, unfortunately, some people who don't allow for a candid, honest, intelligent, rational discussion of the issues affecting the Middle East, including some of the things you and I have just both mentioned, the quick weapon to use is that person obviously is anti-Semitic if they disagree with the policies of Israel.
Yeah.
I disagree with the policies of America, and I am not anti-American.
Yeah, I agree. And it, you know, it's often that epithet is often used on critics of the government of Israel. And
not the Jewish people.
Right. I make a very clear separation when I talk about the government or its leaders or its policies. I think that's all fair game for comment. Joe, I appreciate your very well-informed call today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for joining us. Now to Chris in Cave Creek. Hello, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Very interesting show you had lined up today with with all the people that you brought on. Very cool.
Well, thank you. We put it together every day at the last minute, and it's amazing how it works out.
Well, I guess I kind of wanted to comment a little bit, especially after hearing the ethics conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm curious to figure out, I would really like to see somebody do some good research on how much of a role bigotry played in this election. You know, the Republicans have always been seen, well, at least of late, with the radical right being so firmly in control, the religious right in particular.
Mm-hmm.
How much bigotry has played into the role of people's rejection of the Republican way of life? My feeling. And I think this was supported by a poll, though I can't remember who did it, is that Americans, while they don't support gay marriage as a whole, they do support the idea of giving a gay couple who want to make a lifelong commitment the same legal protections as a straight couple would have.
I think that's right. Mm-hmm.
Civil unions, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I think you find most Americans support.
Hey Chris, I can tell you got more to say, and I only have 10 seconds, and I can't stop this break. It's like a freight train coming through. So stand by. We'll come back to you after the break and let you finish your thought.
Thank you.
That's Chris. I'm Peter B. Collins. One line open. 888-5 Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff for the season the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are in many ways so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to. Down in Monterey.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm Peter B.
Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, two people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
That's Roy Zimmerman. He's new in my world, but he's going to be here on Friday in our first hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're going to play as many of these tunes off his new CD as we can. That one's called Defenders of Marriage, the perfect theme as we continue with Chris from Cave Creek. So go ahead, Chris. You were talking about bigotry and the way it was used in the election.
I have to say that I have heard Roy Zimmerman before. He's been played on a couple of comedy shows that I listen to. He's wonderful.
Tell me where.
Dr. Demento.
Oh, he's a demented fellow.
Yes, indeed. The good doctor's still around.
And
Roy Zimmerman has been featured prominently over the past several years.
Oh, okay.
So it's cool to hear him.
And tell me where else, because when I interview him Friday, I'll act like I knew.
Well, let's see. The Dr. Demento show. There's a show called The Fun Zone, which is syndicated on a few lower power radio stations.
Yeah. Now, is that hosted by Weird Al?
No.
Because Weird Al has a song called The Fun Zone.
Yes. That was where the title of the show came from.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, Weird Al did a couple of promo spots for it. But,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've met Weird Al a few times, and he's not weird. He's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
All right, so back to your point about bigotry. I did distract you.
Well, It's interesting to note, I think, that people pretty much, you know, you notice that a lot of the Republicans who lost are not only the ones that were the most corrupt, but they were also the ones who were the most into the whole bigotry aspect of things, not only against gays, but against other minorities.
Yeah.
A lot of folks who were against minorities lost their bid, and I'm hoping, I really do hope that that is a signal from the American people that maybe they're ready to move on a little bit from there. I have to say,
I'd like to think so, but you know, the race card worked in defeating Harold Ford.
Yes, it did.
In Tennessee. Now, it's nice to see the Washington Post today reported on the events of a week ago where the two black candidates in Maryland, one running for governor, one running for Senate, imported homeless people from Philadelphia. They paid them $100 to hop on a bus and go into Baltimore and other parts of Maryland to hand out falsified flyers that indicated that Kwesi Mfume and other African-American leaders were endorsing these Republican candidates. And the Republicans appear to be shameless. They were caught red-handed doing this, and they basically just say, so?
Yeah, you gotta love them, right?
Yeah.
Jeez. No, but I think, I really hope that Americans, this is the problem that I see, especially here in America, is, well, look here, South Africa is basically one step away from completely approving the recognition of civil unions and or marriage, and it's South Africa. I mean, they just got away from an apartheid.
Yeah. Well, and they've come a long way, baby, and we got a long way to go. Chris, I really appreciate your call. Thanks for joining me today. Now we got Chris in Salinas. Hello, Chris. You're on the. Oh, hold on here. I gotta go like that. Now you're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing, Peter?
Pretty good today. Thank you.
Hey, I have to agree too with what you said about Melanie Sloan and her group. It's a fantastic group, and if they can find the bad Democrats, get rid of them.
Yeah, yeah. We can't pull punches and say, you know, be rationalizers like the Republicans were, that, oh, he's corrupt, but he's on our team, therefore we're going to look the other way.
Hey, well, I wanted to, are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. My phone was cutting out.
Okay.
But I was really calling about Susan Dudley that George Bush nominated for to head the OMB.
Say the name again. You got cut off there. Susan?
Susan Dudley.
Dudley. I don't know about her.
Yeah, you have to look into her. I heard it on the news a little while ago.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be voting on her appointment to the OMB. And she, if I remember right, was the lawyer who defended Walmart against the women who we're suing Walmart for overtime pay, but I'm not sure on that. But she is an anti-regulatory person, and she is going to be the head of regulatory, you know, in the government.
Yeah.
Regulations in the government.
Okay, I just Googled this, and Think Progress, which comes out of the Center for American Progress, has posted this. It appears to be fresh today. I'm looking for a date here. It says, President Bush is expected to nominate Susan Dudley as the next head of an obscure but super powerful office that oversees many business regulations. The Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs holds sway over federal regulatory agencies like EPA, helps set policy for a wide range of issues from workplace safety to water quality. The most recent appointee, John Graham, has demonstrated consistent hostility to protections for public health. And Dudley makes John Graham look like Ralph Nader, says the
there
quote
you go.
Well, it's just the wrecking crew in action. And this is an important point, Chris, because right now the Democrats are trying out these bipartisan, civil, non-confrontational approaches to the Republicans. And the Republicans keep poking us in the eye with Bush's demand to confirm John Bolton at the UN, Bush's demand that the lame duck session pass out and legalize his law-breaking under the NSA and FISA acts. And, you know, he makes appointments like this, which, again, are intended to gut the work of progressives, Democrats, and other people who have been building, you know, a progressive-oriented government in this country. And they want to dismantle as much of that as they possibly can in the 2 years remaining.
Can't one of our senators put a hold on the nomination? Not a filibuster, but just some sort of a hold?
I believe so.
And then we can hold it over until they take power.
The thing I'm curious about, Chris, is this is honestly the first time I've heard about this position. It is a very obscure one, and I do not know that it requires Senate confirmation.
Well,
so, I mean, it's not a cabinet post, and it's not one of the confirmable posts that I have been familiar with in the past. So I'm not saying that it doesn't, but I'm not aware that it requires any kind of confirmation from Capitol Hill.
Yeah, well, that's what I was under the impression that they're going to be voting on that,
mm-hmm.
or coming up.
All right, well, let's look into that,
anyway.
And if you find out more, let me know, and we'll put it on the program.
All right, you take it easy.
Okay. It's amazing what I can learn when I just pick up the phone and talk to our listeners. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. Why don't you teach me something? That's 888-573-8372. Ben from Salinas, welcome.
Yes, I believe that those posts are filled at the president's pleasure, just like the head of the FCC. We have to...
Well, the FCC chair does... those posts do require Senate confirmation.
Okay, I will. Thank you for teaching me. I didn't know that.
This one I'm not clear on. So.
Okay, and also I had to share the earlier caller from, I guess, Florida or somewhere about the final, what's going to be the disposition vis-a-vis the PNAC group,
right,
about those military bases and that embassy when we get our butts out of there. However, the main issue that I call today is to reflect on, we got to be careful. We cannot afford to stumble. We got to put this guy in check to undo the damage that he's done, these bills that need to be conquered before you even think about impeachment. Because remember, when you don't have the votes to impeach or to impeach to remove, don't get into the fray. Here's the risk we run. If they try to impeach this guy, who deserves it, but if they fail to make it, he's going to be like the wounded duck, and we could be the victims of a sympathy vote swinging back in our face in 208, because you know he's going to be out there campaigning like a dog for Jeb. They want Jeb there. They can window dress us with McCain and all these other people. They want to continue the Bush dynasty. Therein lies the danger. The true road to accountability means we must have a new, complete, thorough 9/11 investigation from the get-go, and none of the sweetheart stuff going hand in hand. No, you go like a man, you say what you got to say, and let the truth fall where it may. And I'll let someone else talk, Peter.
All right, Ben, I appreciate your analysis.
Oh, by the way, has anybody noticed the gas has dropped $3 a barrel, and yet it's up for 80 cents at the pump? Is anybody hearing that, Mr. New Schwarzenegger? bigger.
Oh, it's just market forces.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ben. Now to John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, you're poking us in the eye analogy. Bernie Sanders echoed that very ably on Tom Hartman's show. Oh, this was over a month ago, when he pointed out that every appointment, even the lesser ones, Bush has sought out the most extreme right-wing or arcane or off-the-wall appointees. The whole idea of compromise, there isn't a scratch or a microbe of evidence in his behavior that says he ever has taken compromise or anything approaching it seriously. That's all gigantic cosmic BS for sure. And that we have to remember. There is no bargaining with this guy. He's just under a lot of pressure right now. And last night I heard Tony Snow on your 10 o'clock in the evening CBS News say that in a loud, clear tone that Iraq was the centerpiece of the war on terrorism. I thought, my God, they haven't shelved that yet. They must all be totally insane. And again, how can you bargain with a mouth? That's Bush's principal mouthpiece right there. And he's echoing the very beginning arguments back in the fall of 2000 before Bush went out for 6 months and evangelized. Remember that. He evangelized for war. Not like Woodrow Wilson, who ran in his second term in 1916 on, he kept us out of war. This man was arguing fervently to take us in, something that's never been done before. That should be pointed out night and day. It should have been in all the campaigns. It's hardly ever mentioned.
Well, John, I agree with you, and I want to come back to your quote of Tony Snow.
Did you hear that?
I didn't, but I've heard it before. And it bears just taking a moment here to diagram that sentence. Okay? He says Iraq is the central front, that's the phrase they use, or the centerpiece of the so-called war on terror. Well, first of all, it only can be argued that it might have become that way, but still, that is not an accurate portrayal of what's occurring on the ground in Iraq. Yes. Al-Qaeda is there. Yes, there are foreign fighters of other stripes who have been drawn into a chaotic country that doesn't have a functioning central government. There are a lot of opportunists, but they number less than a couple of thousand, and the real challenge is from the civil war between the Sunnis and the Shiites, which, because of the election, more Democrats are willing to use the CW term. They're actually saying civil war, and I think that is an important advance. Then we come back to that tired, soggy, sorry phrase about the war on terror, and that is a meaningless, you know, empty calorie phrase, because, you know, yes, we were attacked. There's still serious questions about exactly how all that worked on 9/11 and whether there was collusion or passivity on the part of our government. That said, you know, the so-called war on terror is this amorphous one-size-fits-all concept that is, you know, wrapped around anything that the Bush administration wants to advance. And I believe that most Americans are now on to the con. There are still plenty who are buying it and drinking that Kool-Aid, but most Americans are on to the con. And so Tony Snow is really whistling past a graveyard or two. John, thanks for your call today. We're going to take a break and return. There's room for another caller or two if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. Email peter@peterbcollins.com. Send me a note.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Let's take a look at traffic as you folks make your way home tonight. Let's let you know that we do have a problem being reported. Let's see. Actually, no problems, according to CHP. No major stalls or accidents to tell you about, which is always good news. So what does that mean for you folks? We're going to let you know we do have a little bit of slow traffic being reported. And let's take a look at this. According to CHP, we've got some slow traffic. Eastbound 25 slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. Southbound 1, just a little bit slow and go between Monterey and Carmel, and eastbound and westbound 68 slows in pockets between Monterey and Salinas, especially in the eastbound direction. Quickly, an advisory for tonight. We have a road work in Watsonville, Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom. Caltrans will have one lane closed in each direction from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. for pavement upgrades. You can expect at least 15-minute delays.
B. Collins Show.
Those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know what you're here. Chief P. Put your hands together.
Every now and then, I just love to feel the power of gospel music.
I feel like having some church up in here. Come on.
That's Kirk Franklin and Stomp. I'm Peter B. Collins, and my able producer, Matt Renner, during the break, pulled up this information about Susan Dudley. The Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee will be considering this nomination to see if she'll be confirmed as the next regulatory policy chief. It's the job we talked about, the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, and that's at the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget. And previously, I did not know that this post required Senate confirmation. I thought it was just the OMB chief, him or herself. So it's a very interesting issue, and if you Google Susan Dudley, you can get more information about that for yourself. We go to John in Phoenix next. Thanks for your call, John. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter.
Yes.
Good afternoon. Good evening. Hey, I've never understood why evangelicals and Republicans who oppose gay marriage are bigots, but Harry Reid and Hillary Clinton and 95% of the Democrats who oppose it are what? Can you help me out with that? Then I have another quick question for you.
Sure. I think they're wrong.
But they're not bigots.
I understand your point. I think they do exhibit bigoted behavior in that respect. But you're correct that progressives do not call their own, or at least people who are somewhat close to their position, with the same labels that they use on the far right.
Yeah, and you know, I actually think that evangelicals believe it's wrong. They just do. I think it should be legal, but I don't think that Hillary Clinton really thinks it's wrong. I think that she just takes that position because it's politically
expedient.
Exactly.
I agree with you. I believe that there are many religious people who simply think that homosexual behavior is sinful, and they cannot get over that.
Right.
And you know, I can respect their point of view. It's when that is used for a political wedge issue that I'd say it crosses the line into bigotry. And when somebody like Ted Haggard is a proponent of a ban on gay marriage, then that is bigotry and hypocrisy adding up.
Well, when Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, you know, make these human rights issues about it, and they say that they don't want any discrimination against gays, that's untrue and also hypocritical. To not allow gays to marry is discrimination. But anyway, I don't think it's a good start for you guys. Harry Reid and John Murtha, two corrupt politicians in the leadership. Man, I think it's going to be, I think you guys ought to dump them and get some new blood in there. And what do you think?
Well, I'm going to channel Rumsfeld for you. You go to the majority.
You what?
You go to the majority with the dodos that got you there.
Well, I know, but I mean, come on. You got shady land deal, tipping people with campaign money, and Murtha selling off earmarks.
Well, hold on.
Lobbied by his brother.
John, hold on.
A bribe for a scam. I mean, these are pretty corrupt guys.
John, hold on. First of all, I believe that what I know about John Murtha is far more serious and gives me graver concerns than the issues you raise about Harry Reid. Reid's land deal was not properly disclosed, and I will acknowledge that. But I don't think that it crossed the line. It didn't involve public issues or his office being abused or used in an improper way. So I don't think that's the issue. For me, Harry Reid is too conservative, and his pro-life positions and some of the others are too close to the Republicans. I would much prefer Dick Durbin as the Democratic leader in the Senate.
How is Harry Reid your leader? He opposes gay marriage, he's anti-abortion, and he voted for the Bush tax cuts. Wow. He sounds like a bigot to me.
Well, No. Those may be miscues and politically incorrect, but I wouldn't say they rise to the level of bigotry. But I enjoyed your call, John. Thanks for checking in today. He's gone. Now to Charlie in Boulder Creek. Hello, Charlie. I used to live in Boulder Creek.
Well, did you?
Yeah, right there on Highway 9. 30 years ago, I moved to California, and that was the first place I lived.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, the reason I'm calling is because I've been looking at the etymology of the word impeach.
Uh-huh.
And back in the days, I've got to check this a little bit further, but the French word empêcher means to stop or halt or prevent. And the Latin root of the word impeach is the same as for the French, of course, and that's what that meant as well. Now, our word impeach these days doesn't mean the same thing. It means bring charges by the House, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that when the founders wrote the Constitution, they used the word impeach. That was the meaning of it, was to prevent and stop. So people that say, oh, well, we shouldn't punish him, we shouldn't have the country go through this. No, that's not what it's about. It's a check that's put in the Constitution purposely so that the president, the executive, can be prevented from doing certain things. And I think that's it's got to happen.
Right.
And on Cheney first, of course, but it's got to happen, I think.
Well, the other meaning of the word impeach used in legal circles is to prove that somebody's testimony is false. And that's another angle of defining what we're about here. But again, you know, most people, even after the recent Clinton impeachment experience, don't quite get that the process has two stages and that impeachment is what the House does to essentially indict a sitting office holder for high crimes and or misdemeanors.
Yeah, that's the way we use it now, but it also is preventing and stopping.
Oh, I understand your point. But people don't quite get the two stages, and they assume that if the House impeaches, that the president is automatically removed. Right. And it is the two stage, as we saw with Clinton, where there is then a trial in the Senate. And at this point, you know, I think it's I would be comfortable with impeachment going forward after a proper investigation, even if it did not lead to the removal of Bush and Cheney, because I think it would put the evidence on the table. It would inform the American people about what's actually gone on, and it would put a leash on these guys for the remaining 2 years, because they would be on notice at all times that they're being followed, watched, and investigated. I want to thank you for the call, Charlie. Thanks for checking in from Boulder Creek. I got to hit the road.
Thank you.
We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations. I hope you'll tune in. I'm Peter B. Collins. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. White House sources say most of the people abducted from Iraq's higher education ministry today have been released, but the really troubling aspect of this episode is that the kidnappers wore police uniforms. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer is in Baghdad.
There's still enormous confusion surrounding this abduction. Originally, the authorities said there were 150 victims, then 100. Now they're saying 50. They've also announced the arrest of five senior police officers from the area. What's got everyone deeply worried is that a mass kidnapping on this scale looks like an inside job with support from the Iraqi security services themselves. Elizabeth Palmer, CBS News, Baghdad.
The Iraq Study Group, finalizing its recommendations on strategy, spoke today via secure video conference with British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Later, they picked the brains of Clinton administration national security officials, including Warren Christopher, Richard Holbrook, and Sandy Berger. Two recent videotape beatings involving Los Angeles police got national attention. Chief William Bratton called one of them disturbing. But now, he says, as bad as they looked, independent fact finders have determined there was no excessive force.
LAPD policy does permit officers to use less than lethal tools to help them control an uncooperative or aggressive and or combative suspect.
One of those suspects is William Cardenas, a suspected gang member who was wanted for receiving stolen property. He admitted to reporters that he made a mistake when he ran.
I was scared.
You knew there was a warrant out?
Yeah, I knew there was a warrant. I was just scared.
But you know, running away
makes things worse.
Cardenas says he was punched and pepper sprayed while he was held down on the ground. Experts keep saying that our lifestyles can determine how long and how well we live. Now, CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports there's strong evidence to support that.
A 40-year study of Japanese-American men in Hawaii, starting with an average age of 54, determined that these are keys to healthy living to age 85. Low blood pressure, low blood sugar, low bad cholesterol, not being overweight, not smoking, having a strong grip, a good education, and a wife. Of the 5,800 men studied, 42% lived to age 85. One in 10 of them got there with no serious health problems.
The stock market continued its climb today, the Dow rising 86%.